Introducing Oakley Meta Vanguard, the new performance AI glasses designed for athletes. With hands-free capture on an action-ready ultra-wide camera, powerful open-ear speakers, and built-in Meta AI that syncs with your Garmin devices for real-time insights while you train. Take your performance to the next level with Oakley Meta Vanguard. Athletic intelligence is here. Learn more on meta.com.
Meet the computer you can talk to. With Copilot on Windows, working, creating, and collaborating is as easy as talking. Got writer's block? Share your screen with Copilot Vision to help spark inspiration. And use Copilot Voice to have a conversation and brainstorm ideas. Or maybe you need some tech help. With Copilot Vision, Copilot sees what you see. Let Copilot talk you through step-by-step guidance so you can master new apps, games, and skills faster. Try now at windows.com/copilot.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
And the beast is in once again, Josh Allen.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Lutz in the clutch, and the Broncos have won it.
The Rich Eisen Show, coming up on today's show. College football roundup, complete week 11 recap, Monday night football preview, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Hello, Disney Plus audience. Hello, ESPN app audience. Hello, ESPN radio audience. ESPN radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Hello, Sirius XM Channel 80 audience. Hello to our podcast listeners, because you matter to us as well. All 3 hours available. If you miss anything, you can listen to us whenever you want. You can watch us whenever you want as well on our Disney Plus page. All 3 hours is posted there as soon as we're done. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Let me get the exact follower subscriber count. 1,021,060. Up, 61. Trust me, I won't do that the rest of the show. But that's the way we're rolling here on the program. And Overreaction Monday, the pod has been up for the first 2 hours of this show. So go get it.
Leave a comment. Call me stupid.
You don't want to invite that.
I mean, it's going to happen anyway.
That's your good one.
So. Yeah, shout out Eagles fans.
That might be the nicest thing you get told, too.
Eagles fans, I love them. They forget that I was the one last year who was ahead of everyone nationally in saying that they were a juggernaut and were going to win the Super Bowl. but now I'm a hater.
Yeah, you know what, Chris? What are you going to do, right?
I don't know.
What can you do except just
nothing?
Keep on making takes. Keep on making takes with respect.
And I will.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll take your calls this hour. Listen, a couple pieces of injury news to lead off this hour.
Yeah, for sure.
My longtime buddy, Adam Schefter, reporting no major structural damage in Josh Jacobs' knee. He's week to week.
That's huge.
He's week to week.
Week to week.
So it's better than done for the year, which it's possible that Michael Penix Jr. is. And I'll tell you who looks done for the year, though, unfortunately, is the Atlanta Falcons. And the Carolina Panthers go into Atlanta yesterday and take on a massive, massive game from Bijan Robinson and absorb it and go into overtime and win the game in overtime, knocking both Michael Penix Jr. and Drake London from the game. Looks like London might miss some time as well with an injury to his knee that isn't season ending. But the Carolina Panthers take this moment in time with Bryce Young and take Tet McMillan and Rico Dowdle and ball them all up and fall down 21-7. And win this game by the final of 30-27. and deal a crushing blow to the once upon a time 3-2 Atlanta Falcons. They were 3-2 after beating the Bills on Sunday night and feeling really good about themselves going into their game at San Francisco. And they haven't won since. 5 losses in a row, now 3-7. Heading to New Orleans next week, which, as we know, isn't a given. As the Panthers can tell you, they lost to New Orleans at home. And we were wondering if the Panthers could recover from that. And the answer is, how does 448 yards passing from Bryce Young sound? And what the Panthers have done is put themselves in position this year, understandably, to not only make the playoffs, but potentially win the division because, as I mentioned, the Falcons beating the Bills for their last win in Week 5, those Bills beat the Bucks in Western New York while the Panthers were coming from behind to win. And in the NFC South right now, they're only a half game behind Tampa. And they haven't played Tampa yet. Now, Tampa, as we know, is not fully constituted on offense. I get it. And they should be getting healthy. Because right now, Carolina's last 3 games of the season is where rubber's going to meet the road. They play the Bucs twice, wrapped around a home date with Seattle, which could be an NFL Network game on a Saturday, the 27th, that I'm calling, actually. Before that, though, they got 2 doozies. They're at San Francisco on a Monday nighter that I'm sure ESPN a few weeks ago was like, okay, like Larry David. Now they're like, okay.
All right.
Because this is a big one. It's currently a Niners team 7th in the playoff standings in the NFC against the team that's 9th in the playoff standings with the Lions in between them. I mean, that's what Carolina's done now. And what Carolina has also done is give themselves a chance to make the playoffs this year and give themselves a chance to win the division this year. But at its very least, what they have done is shown that Bryce Young can be their quarterback. And Dave Canales is the guy who's been in charge of this kid's development. And who knew the development involved benching him almost right away? And we were part of that drumbeat last year, 100% saying, did the Panthers even know what they're doing? Did they hire the right guy? Was Canales ordered to give the code red on Bryce Young? Is he even in charge there with the owner being David Tepper? And should Young even just demand to be traded? Because he's clearly, I'm not even one. I don't want to be here because I don't want to. You don't want me here, and I don't know why you hired this guy if it's to bench me. And look at what's happened. And they've drafted well around him, even though before the season, like, really, you're going to trade Adam Thielen? You're going to trade Adam Thielen. You're going to trade that veteran presence in that.
Who had a great year last year.
In that wide receiver room. Exactly.
Bryce Young, yeah.
And Leggett, last year's 32nd overall draft choice, who made news last year just by talking. And but remember, he was basically saying, you know, hey, they told me they're going to take me with the top pick of the 2nd round, yeah, but they took me in the 1st round. It's just like, yeah, we had to trade up to get you because we wanted you. And you basically told everybody. 83 yards receiving. And McMillan, a buck 30 yesterday, and Bryce Young's 448 yard passing.
That's
day.
Crazy.
Which is, in fact, a career high and franchise record. Franchise record, man. Hey, we know we're benching you for Andy Dalton, but at week 11 next year, you're not only going to start for us, you're going to have the career record and franchise record in passing yards. Very and good. We showing to everybody that we can not only make the playoffs and win the division, but we are zooming past the Atlanta Falcons in the NFC South Diamond Lane. And we're waving at the Falcons saying, we've got enough people in our car. What about you? They passed him. They passed him yesterday. They had already passed him in record, but really passed him by sweeping Atlanta for the first time since 2013. Okay. We see you, Carolina. Second straight and third time in the last four meetings in at Atlanta. The game's gone overtime, and they're 2-1 of those games. They have done it. They're doing it against Atlanta, which has to look around and go, okay, remarkably, Kirk Cousins, if Penix is done for the year, if not for a significant part, you want to talk about role reversal. Last year, if you recall, Penix was called upon late in the season to try and save the season after what was going on with Cousins. Now it's Cousins late in the season. Can you save the season after what's been going on with Penix? It's crazy. It's crazy. Can't make this stuff up. As they are 3-7, Atlanta. Their next few games, they're at New Orleans, at the Jets. Got to win them. Got to win them. And you even have to say at 3-7, they got to win out. They got to win out. And I feel for Penix too, man. Certainly after the kerfuffle that I was unfortunately helping propagate at one point, that the coaching staff wasn't there for Penix because he made an answer to a question about who was in his circle outside the building. And it was cut up and posted on social media as if he was answering about who was helping him on the field, period. And he didn't mention his coaching staff. You know, it all was working, man. It was clicking. Bijan was doing his thing.
Yep.
Algier scored two, and we're not sitting there talking about vulturing because Bijan was doing his thing and Drake London was doing his thing, and they were doing it. And Carolina just said, screw it. We're the better team, and we're the better team in division, and we're the better team to move forward with. Wild.
Wild.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. William in Kansas, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, William?
Hello?
You are on, sir. You are on. What's up, bud?
Well, first of all, let me say thank you for taking the call. I've been a fan for years.
Thank you, sir.
I have a comment and question about the Chiefs.
Yep.
I want to lead with the fact that we have not had a 1,000-yard rusher since 2017 during Kareem Hunt's rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think our offensive line is really built for a heavy run game. Maybe that would have changed if we actually got Breece Hall. But I don't really know. And I've seen a lot of people on social media calling for Andy Reid's head.
That's crazy
talk.
Feel like move on from that, William. That's nuts. What else? That's nuts.
Okay. Well, my question for you is,
yes.
do you think that if we were to have gotten Breece Hall, do you think we would have been capable of running the ball well behind that offensive line?
Yes, I do, because you've got the interior guys, and the question is, you know, are the ones on the edges, and I understand that, you know, pass blocking, run blocking, you know, it's more than gold jacket, green jacket, you know what I mean? But the bottom line is, it does look like an offense that's in need of a turbocharge in the same way that we watched San Francisco's offense that appeared to be good enough to win a Super Bowl get turbocharged with Christian McCaffrey, for instance. It does look like it's in need of that. And they're just like believing in their system, which did, William, work last year in one run, in one score games. But this year, they're not executing in a way. And it does look like a bit of a hangover that I still can't believe we're ascribing to the Chiefs potentially. But they do still listen, man. And thank you for the call. And thank you for the compliment. They still have the horses. They do. It's and don't pay attention to Andy Reid needs to go.
That's insane.
I've not seen that anywhere.
All right. But listen, as I've mentioned, the issue with the Chiefs isn't just the one score stuff and a little bit of the weird stuff that we don't normally see with them, where they're missing this, they're missing that. They're blowing this coverage, they're blowing that sack. They're blowing that, you know, protection. But the ultimate problem for them is that even if they do figure out whatever is their problem in one score games and things like that, the reality of the situation is they've lost to every single occupant of the wild card spot. And they've got tiebreaker problems. And the Jaguars are one of them. Hey, man. The Jaguars, let's just talk about them a little bit. How about that for Carolina Jacksonville segment here. But hey, you got to give it up. Jacksonville played a terrific football game yesterday. And this was a team that kept shooting themselves in the foot with all different problems on both sides of the ball and penalties and making mistakes. And Trevor Lawrence wasn't one of them either. That was helping. He was making mistakes as well. Second half, they came out and they road graded the Los Angeles Chargers, which you are not usually doing. Chargers are one of the best teams in terms of time of possession. I have it right here. The Los Angeles Chargers are top notch in time of possession, and the Jaguars ran it up for 192 total yards and beat them by 29 and hardly let them have the ball and took advantage of what the Steelers couldn't take advantage of and others taking on the Chargers, which is Herbert is not being protected as well as they want him to be protected because they have so many injuries up front, and they beat up Herbert so badly that Jim took him out and said, Trey Lance, it's your time. And the same thing that I said about Shador, I'm sure Trey Lance has not had many snaps with the ones at all.
Yeah. And had it a little bit longer, though.
And so, yeah, man, they got
the same amount of football.
The Chargers only possessed the ball for 22 minutes and 5 seconds of this game, lowest of the season. And the Chargers had led the NFL in time of possession coming into this game with 33 minutes and 35 seconds. I mean, that's more than a half of football, which helps you win football games. But Jacksonville got ETN going and Tootin going before he got hurt. And the thing with Jacksonville is that is not only a win that can help them get in as a wild card. They have yet to play the Colts yet. Did you know that? They have yet to play the Colts.
Good.
And Jacksonville's next game is at Arizona and then at Tennessee before they welcome in the Colts to start their December schedule. They're at Denver too, man. But the bottom line is if they win their next two games, and I know there's a lot of ifs, to set up their game against the Colts, who are taking on Kansas City next themselves, they have a chance to win the division. And I didn't go higher register, did I? They 100% do. They're two games behind the Colts. It would be helpful for them if they win their next two and the Colts lose at least one of their next two. And Indianapolis's next two are at Kansas City and home for Houston. And Jacksonville's already held serve home against Houston. They've already, as you know, beaten Houston twice. I think I got that right. They can win this division. They can win it. So, as you know, Jacksonville came back on Houston in a big, big way to follow it up by smoking the Chargers like that. That is massive. Pardon me. Houston came back on Jacksonville. My bad. So they split. They could still win the division. It's basically what I'm saying. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. More of your calls. A little college football, a little NBA, a little bit of mixed grab because, you know, it's not just the National Football League played on Sunday. It feels like it because there were four windows of football. And I woke up damn near at midnight to start talking about it.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Rich Eisen here for Sonos, the speakers that bring every game to life in my own house. With studio quality sound, Sonos makes you feel like you're right there in the stadium. Whether you're cheering on your team, binging your favorite show, or listening to the hottest songs, Sonos fills every room with incredible sound. Setup is easy. Just plug in, open the Sonos app, and you're ready to go. Want stadium quality sound at home just like me? Because I love Sonos. You will too. Explore soundbars, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos, they look as good as they sound.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the Thumbtack app. Download today.
As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. College football, everybody. My Wolverines, bro. I mean, we turned it over. I think, was it four or five times? We turned it over five times and missed two field goals and still won. I don't know how the hell that in Wrigley Field. Do you see any of that video of the game?
Yeah, I had it on the quad box.
It's pretty good. How is Sarah with Georgia beating up on Texas?
Oh my goodness! I mean, stressful first half. And then second half just kind of took care of business, and she was kind of laughing. But
right,
you know,
well, the big game involving a Texas team before it, Texas A&M falling down to South Carolina, 30-7,
30-3,
30-3. Right, and they came back from 27 down,
came back to win.
And South Carolina at that time was battling not only Texas A&M but law enforcement.
I did see that,
which gave one of the South Carolina players the business in the tunnel. It's like, hey. Apparently that
immediately got removed from his
game
post.
Day duty.
Yeah, from his post. Yeah,
that was wild.
That was an incredible game. For some reason, I picked that game to focus on.
Okay,
and I took a screenshot. 11:34. It's left in the third. It's 30-3, and I'm like, all right, I think South Carolina might have this. And then by 10 minutes left in the fourth, it's now 31-30. Like.
Oh, so you screen grab that on your phone?
Yeah, just because I wanted to see the timestamp of how they came back.
Oh, so that's what you're doing instead of texting us all back.
No one texted on the Saturday, though. This was Saturday.
I don't know about that.
I mean, this was Saturday.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
So at least you are on your phone. You confirm you're on your phone watching sports.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wait, so you know that you're on the cut, right, tonight?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I go. At this point, I can't jump onto the text chain now.
Of course you can.
I can't.
Of course you can jump on it.
Come on, DJ.
You want to be guillotined in the worst way.
No, I don't. Yes, I actually want to win, and I'm going to win
that's
tonight.
Odd. Okay.
By the way, you need Javonte to go off.
He will.
All right.
And I need B-Rock Bowers to not go off.
Speaking of Georgia... did you hear what Kirby Smart had to say after the game beating up on Texas? This is quite the soundbite from the head coach of Georgia.
Yeah, it's the approach we take. We're gonna dominate and try to win the fourth quarter. It's what we do in practice. It's what we do in the off season. It's what we build our core culture around is being the more physical team. And you have to recruit physical players, and they have to buy into that process. I don't know that a lot of these kids nowadays, they want to check. They don't want physicality. And if you have the check and no physicality, you end up with nothing. So we're not just getting checks at our place. We're hitting people.
I mean, some kids want the check, but not the sweat and sometimes the blood that comes with it.
That's a bar right
there. I'm telling you, man. Right? Was he referring to Texas or was he just referring to kids in general? It doesn't even matter.
Thing. Kirby doesn't really take shots, so I assume it's
just
in
he's
general.
Talking about just in general.
Yeah.
Some kids just want the checks. They don't want the rest of it that comes with it. We represent some physical players here. So Alabama loses.
It was a good day for Georgia. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Like
Texas A&M did win, but it didn't look great.
Right.
And the next day for Georgia, watching that game last night is the Eagles are getting announced. It was like Georgia.
That
they have four defensive players,
four,
right,
dude,
on the Eagles?
That Mateer kid for Oklahoma. can play football.
Yeah, you called him Baker-esque.
He looks like him.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I like him a lot.
He's got some sand in the pants, man. He's got some...
Moxie.
Moxie, yeah, man.
Moxie.
He's got some... I like watching him play football, yeah. Except when he beat Michigan. We couldn't stop him. We couldn't stop him on the ground. We couldn't stop him in the air. It was like a whole Dr. Seuss rhyme. We couldn't stop him in a box. We couldn't stop him with a fox or on fox.
Okay.
I don't think that game was on fox.
That's funny.
Well, so where we? I mean, it's. I got 2 weeks left.
Oh, this is great.
I got 2 weeks to go.
Mock draft has Mateer to the Raiders.
Dude, Mateer to the Raiders would be really fun. Mateer to the Raiders would be a lot of fun. And I think Raiders fans wouldn't mind it because he's good. He's really good. But I got 2 weeks to go.
Rich, living your best life for 2 weeks at least.
I got 2 weeks left.
Let's say you win.
That would be great.
I mean, thought last year was like a pipe dream that you would beat them. And then
in
you
the horseshoe.
Yes, I mean.
Right. And then, they went on to win the Natty. But.
Yeah, which they wouldn't have done if they had lost, if they'd beaten us.
Probably not. I don't know. Maybe not.
I like having my fun with it. I got 2 weeks left. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. So, Draymond Green had the weekend. I mean, Wembanyama on an out-of-bounds play. This was on, I believe, Prime Video. And he dunks on Draymond, and I guess did the officials call a foul before the dunk somehow, or I don't know, whatever, but it was an inbounds play, and Draymond is, it's unbelievable. He's 6'8", right? 6'8",
6'9". Draymond is a big, he's like 6'6". Thick dude.
Okay, and Wembanyama is like a foot taller than him.
Has a whole
and he
head.
Dunks on him and then stares down at him. The only thing that I could think of in that moment is it truly did look like John Sally looking down on Martin Lawrence in
Bad Boys.
Bad Boys.
That's funny.
And there it is.
Oh, nice.
Tell me that's not, just like the only thing missing is the glasses. It's Wemby's not wearing glasses.
That's good.
This is.
That is great.
That's it.
Well, you ever see this one's not as bad, but the picture of Jordan with Muggsy Bogues on him where Mike's holding the ball up
and
Muggsy's
in a squat.
I mean, that was something else. But Curry also scored damn near 50, a 50 piece.
Yep.
Wild. And then Draymond last night, a fan? Where was this again last night? Where in New Orleans. Where, by the way, I guess they can now announce their coach's name now because they bounced him. They fired Willie Green.
Yep.
That, which is just, the Pelicans were like, our coach is being booed so much, we need to fire him. And then now we can introduce our coach's name. But some fan is barking at Draymond throughout the entire game, and Draymond goes up to him, and the fan extends his hands like, I'm not here to touch you, or I don't know what happened. But apparently the fan was calling him Angel Reese throughout the game.
Oh. Not a compliment, I imagine.
Well, again, Draymond had this to say afterwards after the refs had to separate potentially the two.
What happened in the second quarter with that fan?
He just kept calling me a woman. You know, it was a good joke at first, but you can't keep calling me a woman. Running away. Can't keep calling me a woman. So, he got quiet though, so it was fine.
You can say, what did he say when you got over there?
He was talking at first, and then you get a little closer, and he didn't really say much else.
Yeah, I mean, the fan who has every right to...
You can respectfully trash talk.
Trash talk will definitely get quiet when somebody much bigger and larger gets right in your face.
Yeah.
Just again, it's just a part and parcel of just how too close these fans are to some NBA players. And, you know, Draymond taking issue with his manhood being questioned, that he's got kids on the way. I mean, I think the insinuation wasn't about his manhood. It was about, you know, Angel Reese is known sometimes for missing layups.
Right.
And being otherwise dominant on the boards. That's a similar game.
Well, to Draymond Green. Rebound stats are so high because you're getting your own miss.
And that's the insinuation.
Right. Oh, my God.
It's just so silly, man. And you know, the rabbit ears that you're giving the fan what the fan wants. And you're also potentially crossing a line here you don't want any part of.
Especially when you have the reputation and the past transgressions.
Well, I mean, you just don't want to be part of it.
Doesn't seem
do you
like
have any opinion on this?
You know I do, because you know it's funny, because you could sit there and call my quarterback, who doesn't play the same sport as you, a bum, right? Out for no reason, despite the fact that everything that Dak Prescott has had to go through in his life. I'm talking about losing his mom at an early age, losing his brother. Like, you know, just to make it through that, you're not a bum, man. And that, I don't know why, that just really irked the crap out of me when he said that. And then unfortunately, with Marshawn Nealon passing away, it kind of made that not matter as much.
Understood.
You know? And so, yeah, so I let it go. But now I'm seeing this, it's like, so, hello, was this like a pot calling the kettle black type? Like, it's cool for you to sit there and trash somebody, but someone can't say it to you? I guess
his response would be, at least he didn't call me a bumette. At least I didn't call him a bumette.
It was funny at first.
Which makes no sense. To me, it's not a gender thing. I mean, you know.
Well, that's where he took the.
The bottom line is, if you feel that your manhood is being questioned, your manhood is in your estimation, crystallized by the fact that you have children, then, you know, you need to understand something a little bit more about yourself,
right?
And your own self-assuredness. And I don't particularly care. People, you know, I cry all the time. If whatever you associate with masculinity is an argument that I'm not going to get into now. I think he's just basically saying you can't shoot. And he did it in a way that really rubbed him the wrong way. And I think he went up to him, which makes no sense because
let me just tell
potentially
you
crossing the line.
Angel Reese sat in front of me at the Canelo Terrence Crawford fight.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to say anything bad about Angel Reese.
By the way, who has a cameo in A House of Dynamite that came out of nowhere?
She does. It was out of nowhere.
You know,
it was. I'm like, whoa, what?
I know.
Yeah.
Her agent doing some work.
Yeah, well done.
Listen, guys.
Well done by all involved.
I'm just saying.
Al in Dallas. What's up, Al? How you been, sir?
I'm just saying.
I'm doing all right, gentlemen. A couple things I'd like to talk about. First of all, it is inconceivable.
How
two of the four sports, to quote Princess Bride, inconceivable. It's inconceivable how two of the four sports, major sports, have a horrendous officiating problem.
Does it make sense that both of them are contact sports? Or hockey is obviously a contact sport, but
baseball's got a horrendous. I've got an officiating problem, and so does the NFL.
Okay.
And when you look, I mean, you're a lockdown professional, procrastinate. You know, not a procrastinator. That was the wrong word.
But,
prognosticator. NFL, you know, an NFL media type. And I got to listen to Bob Papa and Carl Banks through the local games. Bob Papa, lockdown professional. You know Bob,
mm-hmm.
obviously.
Mm-hmm.
He was eviscerating the officiating in the game, eviscerating it to the point where it was almost like, you know, the Park Avenue guys, Rich, the employees live in New York. They get to hear this stuff. They get to hear people like yourself. They get to hear all these guys. They got to do something about this, man. This is horrendous. And I don't know if it's because of replay. I don't know if it's changed. Same thing's happened in baseball. Replay's made some of it better, but good Lord. It's bad, and I don't have an answer, and you know, that's my take on that. The second thing I wanted to bring up, you talked about it before, Kevin Stefanski. He is begging the Browns to fire him. That guy, how long would that guy be out of a job?
Let me ask you something, Al. Again, I don't know. There's always an iceberg and there's a tip. If you are sitting there in Cleveland and you're seeing what's going on there and you know what might be going on there, right? And you get a sense that you could go work for the New York Giants and coach up Jackson Dart. Wouldn't you want to do that?
Oh, my God.
I'm seriously, like, you know, like, would you not want to do that? But I have no idea, Alan. We don't either. I don't know what his, how many kids he has and if they do love living in the greater Cleveland area. I don't know. I mean, he might love it and hear stuff like this and say, of course, I don't want to get fired. I just didn't want Shador. Or I think Dylan Gabriel's better, and I'm the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, and I'm going to do what I need to do. He's a two-time coach of the year. And I think, you know, he's a terrific coach. But circumstances there in Cleveland are not playing out very well. They did just draft the hell out of that draft. That kid from UCLA is the defensive rookie of the year right now.
He is, yeah.
Schlesinger,
yeah,
right? I mean, he had a big defensive play yesterday.
Yeah, they had a great draft.
So,
and listen, don't make it Giants-centric. You know, like, I mean, there's going to be a lot of jobs. The league stinks. There's going to be a lot of jobs that are going to be open. You watch the Ole Miss Florida game, right? If you watched any of that game, how many times they talk about the fact that Lane hasn't signed his extension yet? And listen, he may not go to the NFL, but you don't think he's going to use that as leverage as well?
Of course.
Like, there are so many jobs that are going to be open. Stefanski, if you fire him, I mean, listen, the guy will chill out for a year and go take the cream of the crop, or he'll go take the Giants job, or take whatever job. Giants going to be the best job. They're going to have they have a quarterback that they can go to, and they're going to have the second pick, maybe even the first. Who knows?
Al, thanks for the time. No question, the Giants are a terrific job. I mean, because the Maras and the Tishes aren't going anywhere, and you know they just gave Daboll more time, and you know you're not going to get one and done unless you're like 1-15 and Jackson Dart looks terrible all of a sudden. I just don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll get you set for Monday Night Football, the Raiders and the Cowboys. What's at stake? That's coming up next right here to wrap up this Monday show on the Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show simulcast, the Hyundai Getaway Salesman. Get into it right now and get away with a deal so right it almost feels wrong. Because right now, get a great deal on your most popular models in adventure-ready SUV, like the Hyundai Santa Fe and the Santa Fe hybrid models. There's the bold and stylish Elantra. Packed with all the latest tech, you can go all electric with the Ioniq 5 or Ioniq 6. So get down to your local Hyundai dealer and get away with an awesome deal right now at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for details. We just, for our radio audience, on the TV side, showed Mike McDaniel's first appearance on this program when he phoned in. He was just named the new head coach of the Miami Dolphins. We went over the favorite coaching cliches we have on this program. And he said, I'm going to do this in my first press conference at the combine. And at the end, I stood there looking at him. He saw me. And at the end, I'm like, is he going to do it or is he not? It's okay if he doesn't. I mean, I know he promised to do it, but he's still a head coach in the NFL. And then he just nailed it right down one after another. I stepped out. We high-fived. That was the end of that. So I knew he just had a certain special way about him that he would get the joke and actually use his platform as head coach in the NFL at one point for a gag. And anybody that does things for the gag, I'm always appreciative of it.
My favorite thing about that, too, is you, like, excusing yourself through the crowd. You're like, pardon me, excuse me, excuse me.
Yeah, and then high-fived him, and then left the scene. Sort of like, you know when to get out, like Costanza.
With all due respect.
Now, listen, though. things are not going so well for Mike McDaniel this year, but he's won 3 of 4. And the one loss cost the general manager the job, but not him. And word is that Stephen Ross plans to keep Mike McDaniel in the job. And at 4-7 right now on a bye, the Dolphins' next games, I'm going higher register. I understand that. But the Dolphins' next games after their bye is home for New Orleans and then at the Jets. And they have a chance to go to Pittsburgh on a Monday night in week 15, having won 4 in a row, a chance to get to 500. That's in the ether right now. And, you know, Kurt Warner said on our program on the pregame show, it started at 4 in the morning Pacific, that Tua does things in the McDaniel offense that's as good as any other quarterback in the NFL in this offense, that this offense is actually perfect for him. In the same way that I'm saying, hey, you get drafted, you got to have a coach that believes in you and then models an offense after your best skill set. And Tua can perform well in this offense. So it makes sense if you're tied to Tua the next year, the guy who's got the offense that's kind of perfect for him, you keep him too. And I know that's what some Dolphin fans don't want to hear, is that they've already no confidence in this guy. But listen, they're on a bye. You come back, you get healthy in the spots you need to, and then you're taking on two otherwise last place teams that are looking at their draft position, or for some players playing for their jobs, which makes them dangerous, but still beatable. And he's still, Mike McDaniel, got it in him to have fun at a press conference. Did you see how he snuck into Ollie Gordon's press conference? Gordon, who scored a touchdown in this game, he snuck into the second row of the press conference and asked the final question of Ollie Gordon the second, talk a little bit about how well you're coached.
I mean, this is great.
That's pretty good.
Roll it.
What's up, coach?
Talk a little bit about how well you're coached.
I would say that I feel like I'm coached well, you know. Might be a little bumps in the road, but I feel like, but, you know, I feel like I talk to y'all about anything, come mess with y'all. So I feel like everything cool with us. We good.
Keep it light, which is definitely important. And I understand fans are like, I don't find this funny. Our season's lost. Unless it's not.
I was just going to say, are they out of it?
I'm telling you, they're a higher register team right now. Two winnable games, and then they go into Pittsburgh and see what happens.
Yep.
So they're 7-7, maybe, if they win all those.
Hey, man.
And then last three weeks,
and let chips fall. Let chips fall. Let's see who, after that game, they're home against Cincinnati. Hey. Currently a Sunday night game that I'm imagining, if you keep quiet, you'll hear the sound of a flex.
Oh, yeah.
Then they're home for Tampa at New England, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
we'll be resting,
you
guys,
might be
at
resting.
That point.
I'm
actually not.
I know.
I mean, maybe a month ago I would have said that, but I would be joking.
Unless Vrabel's got anything like Belichick in him, which is like, we're playing them all. Didn't Wes Welker get hurt in a Week 17 meaningless game?
He did, in Houston, which probably cost him the Super Bowl.
Tonight's game, TJ Jefferson.
Varsity.
Listen, 3-5-1. More like then you go 4-5-1.
Kiwi.
You win tonight.
Cage is
you're supposed to. Hey, listen, you're supposed to win this game tonight.
Yeah, for sure. Well,
okay. Stop it.
No, listen.
Stop it.
Let's talk about the human side of things.
As the Raiders did look very good in their last game Thursday night. They gave the Broncos quite the scare and damn near won the game.
3.5-point favorites.
We should
Cowboys.
Win. You know, with, like I said, Marshawn Nealon and what happened with him, I feel like this is a time where the team's going to rally. You know what I mean?
And by the way, Quinnen Williams has shown up in his first game, I believe. Is Overshown back?
He was back in practice.
Okay.
I don't know if he's active.
Well, him showing up, I don't know if he's playing tonight at some point, he's going to make you better on that second level. He was everywhere before he got hurt.
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
But Quinnen Williams right there in the middle, man. Let's go. Him and Kenny Clark should fix the run problem. The question is the pass rush issue. And Geno's been turning it over an insane number of times.
He has.
To the point where Pete Carroll this week is like, 2-7, this is foreign to me, man. And it is.
It is.
So Cowboys win this one, with all due respect to Pete Carroll and the Raiders. But they're in a tough position here at 2-7 to make a run in the AFC, certainly in a division that is gone for them.
Yeah, they're toast. I think it's more about...
I mean, if we're saying the Chiefs are in trouble at 5-5, 2-7, let's focus on the Cowboys here. 4-5-1.
Yeah.
And then you go and you got to visit Detroit next. No, pardon me. Let me get this right. No, then you're home for Philadelphia, home for Kansas City on a Thanksgiving. Then you're at Detroit the following week.
And Overstrom is going to play tonight.
He's there you go, baby. He's good. Game. You just got way stronger on the first two levels of defense. Way stronger.
Almost a year since his injury.
And, you know, obviously there'll be a lot of emotions thinking about their teammate. Yeah. But this is it, buddy. You got to win the one that you're supposed to win. Like the Monday nighter we saw him before the bye at home against Arizona. You lost it. At Vegas, before you get the Eagles in your house, and you're going to be like, okay, let's throw records out here, and let's get to 5-5-1. Let's hold serve against Kansas City, 6-5-1. We'll go to Detroit. We're 7-5-1, and that's when I'll wake you up. Oh. Unless.
Well, I'll be asleep for all that? Or?
I mean.
This is a wild take.
Rip Van Jefferson.
Jack with you today.
Because I'm not answering group texts.
Rip Van Jefferson.
Rip Van. Look, tonight's essential, man. It's a big game. It's going to be with heavy hearts.
Of course.
And I think this team's going to show improvement.
Okay.
Cowboys win big tonight.
4-5-1. Got to have it. Got to have it in that NFC. Certainly when you're playing Detroit, and Detroit's in front of you right now in the standings. And you got Philadelphia next. They're on a roll.
Tough. Well,
that's three, and then you got Kansas City in between it. Oh, baby,
one game at a time, though.
And it starts tonight. Must-win mode.
How about them Cowboys?
We'll check. Stay.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show. The podcast.